This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis inviting you to stay tuned now to hear the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. The message you'll hear is the law of God. Oh, my friend, what a message. We take pride here in bringing you the old-time, old-fashioned gospel message. We have been criticized for calling ourselves old-fashioned. They asked me why. I said, because we're old-fashioned. We don't have any silk handkerchief preachers here. We don't have any turn your heart over to Jesus. We don't walk the aisle. We don't speak in tongues. We don't do those things because God's word is so plain. We know the truth. The scripture says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the message you're hearing today is, we'll hear today, is the law of God. The law. And it's number 429 in this series. And I'll be glad to send it to you, booklet form, free and postpaid. Oftentimes we forget to mention it. We have Pastor Shelton's tracts. We have over 400 titles. I'll send you a title list of those messages. They're all available on CD for a small cost. And they're free in booklet form. So let me give you the mailing address again at the close of the message.
The law of God says, thou shalt not kill, Exodus 20:13. And when that law is violated, get it, then man, in his present state of mind, wants to read it thus, thou shalt not kill the killer. That's the tendency of public opinion today, brought to bear upon the courts of our land. There's a cry that's being heard all over our country at this present hour to abolish capital punishment based upon an erroneous concept of the Word of God. Preachers all over the land brand capital punishment as barbaric. This is because of the warped and twisted mind blinded by the god of this world, which is Satan. Capital punishment is not barbaric. This reveals the fact that such individuals have never known Holy Spirit conviction or the new birth. Therefore, they have missed Christ. And unless they repent, they'll miss heaven and doom for hell. Because they do not know the God of the Bible. And the God that they worship, get it now, which they call Jesus, is a created figment of their own imagination. Let me say with all the emphasis of my heart, such individuals do not know the God of the Bible. Sometimes they'll make statements like this, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. That's not the God of the New Testament. Leaving the impression that there are two Bibles and two gods, which is not so. Get it? The Jehovah God of the Old Testament is Jehovah Jesus of the New Testament. The same God, the God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew and worshiped, is the God I know and worship. Let me mention in the way of introduction some of the forces at work in our country which are responsible for such present-day thinking among our people regarding capital punishment. First, there is the force of religion, which has a fleshly, carnal, materialistic outlook upon every phase of life. This has put so-called Christianity on a par with all other pagan religions of the world. Now, that's true. All over the country, our churches are becoming nothing but temples of pagan worship, worshiping what Paul called another Jesus. This is idol worship because the other Jesus that you worship is a created idol of your own mind and is not the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. Therefore, the average church member today knows nothing of the grace of God in salvation. Therefore, that created idol, which is an image of the mind, is a God like unto man that will let humanity do whatever they want to do. That's rank idolatry. Man has always created his own gods, which would let him do whatever he wanted to do. In Psalms 50:21, God says, listen, thou thinkest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. Now, that's exactly why we rest religiously today. That's true. And that's true today. God has been humanized in the mind of the present generation. Man has been deified. That's modernism. And we're living in a day of hero worship, pawned off as religion. In many instances, murderers, gangsters, sadists, rapists, moral reprobates, extortioners, and such like have been held up as heroes. And the public has clamored for their lives when they come to face the gallows or the electric chair. That's what's happening today everywhere. Another mighty force in our midst that is undermining all of our morals, religious fervor, our faith in God, and counts our Bible as a fairy book is, listen, is the materialistic, atheistic theory of evolution. Back when I was a young man, the theory of evolution was only taught in universities. Then by the time I was in college, it began to find its way into the college classroom. Then in a few years, it stalked the classrooms of our high schools with all of its blatancy and contempt for the Word of God. Until today, in our elementary schools, there are no Bible stories in the readers. They've all been eliminated. Today, the materialistic, atheistic theory of evolution is being taught in our grammar and elementary schools. The first thing that our children meet when they enter the schoolroom today is that they are self-existence, that God did not create them. They came by the process of evolution. Therefore, there is no such a thing as sin. There is no such a thing as guilt. If there's no sin, there's no guilt. Therefore, every emotion of the human body is natural and ought to be satisfied. Now, that's what our children are being taught. Therefore, the teacher is called upon to direct every desire and emotion of the human body in the highest path possible. As a result of this brainwashing, for the last few decades, we have raised up a people who fear neither God nor man, because they say there is no God. We see now a world uprising in open, defiant rebellion against the Word of God. Here in the city of New Orleans the other night, a 17-year-old boy returned home with his date, who was 15 years of age. Because her mother told her it was time to go to bed, this 17-year-old boy went into the room where her mother was and beat her up. Now, that's happening all over the country. All right, if you interfere with any desire or emotion of my heart, I'll put you out of the way, says the boy or the girl. Where'd they learn it? They learned it in the schoolroom. Now you start to punish that boy in court, and there'll be a clamor all over the land to make a hero out of him and turn him loose upon society. Therefore, the laws of God are flaunted, held in contempt, laughed at, belittled, made fun of. And I'm glad the coming of our Lord draweth nigh. Now, I'm dealing with law this morning. Now, no wonder capital punishment is being set aside and winked at today. Our subject is the law of God, which is the law of our land, because our laws are based upon the Ten Commandments and upon the eternal Word of God. And many, many of them carry the death penalty. It used to be, I don't know how it is now, every lawyer knew the Word of God as much as he knew his law book, because the laws are based upon the eternal Word of God. The first thought I want to call your attention to is capital punishment, which means the death penalty for crime, according to Numbers 35, 30, 31, shall not be remitted. I want you to listen to the Word of God. Listen. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of the murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. In other words, when a person is found guilty and sentenced to die, there can be no other ransom for that man's life. Only the death penalty can satisfy the law of God. But you let a person be put, tried and found guilty in the first degree of murder, and every technicality of the law, by some shrewd lawyer, will set aside the penalty if they can, and with for money, bring that person and release him back upon society. We are living in the present hour when someone is sentenced to die. Every effort is made to get it commuted to life imprisonment, or to pronounce him insane, which is the biggest farce out of hell. God is saying here, don't you turn aside justice. Under the law, man has forfeited his right to live as a member of society because he's taken another life, and he shall surely die, and the law should be executed speedily. Now listen, friend, we are talking about law and not grace. The world is under law and not under grace. Has always been from the day God created Adam until now. Every man in our state lives under law and not under grace. As individuals in the kingdom of God, if you're saved, born again, you live under grace. But you're required to keep the laws of the land even though you're under grace. Our courts act under law and not under grace. God's method of salvation from the first chapter of Genesis to the closing chapter of Revelation has always been the same, wholly, completely by grace. But the born-again believers have lived in society that's ruled by the courts of the land. Let's keep that clear between law and grace. You may be saved, but listen, you are subject to obey the laws of our land, which are based upon the eternal Word of God. Now, you hear that? Let's notice that. And now let's notice, as set forth in God's Word, what the penalty of death was inflicted for first. Remember, the law says, thou shalt not kill. And the death penalty was inflicted for murder. Listen at Genesis 9, 5, 6. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother. Will I require the life of man? Whoso sheddeth the man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For an image of God made he man. Now here in the beginning of the human race after the flood, God laid down his law regarding murder hundreds of years before it was incorporated in the Ten Commandments. That's true. That's God's law. Let's look at Numbers 35:16. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. All right, now let's turn to Numbers 35:33, and let's read a scripture that will make your hair stand straight up on the top of your head. You listen to this scripture. Boy, it's terrible. Listen to it. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are. Get it now? Listen. For blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. That's God's eternal word. And if man kills another person, the only way that God says that land can be cleansed of that man's blood is by the blood of him who shed it. Now, brother, that makes your hair stand right straight up on you, doesn't it? Yes, sir. That's God's eternal word. And any man who says that God's barbaric in setting forth such truths as that doesn't know anything about the God of the Bible. You see here how exact the Lord God of heaven is. The only thing that will satisfy the justice of God as well as the justice of the land in which we live is if you murder an individual, you must die. You must die. This is the only way the land can be cleansed of the blood that you shed. You may say that's stern, and it is. But justice is stern. Judgment is sure and exacting. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, says the law. We're talking about law. The reason we have lost the sense of the justice of the laws of God and the laws of the land, which are based upon the laws of God, is because we have lost Holy Spirit conviction, which reveals to the human heart the righteousness and the justice of the laws of God, and which every individual who ever gets saved has to acknowledge. Every individual who is brought under Holy Spirit conviction says in his own heart before God, your laws are right and just altogether, and I'm the guilty one. It is there as never before. You see that from cover to cover of God's Word, that His law must stand. They cannot be put aside. And then it is only when that sinner sees that he cannot keep the law of God, he cannot meet the righteousness of the law, or produce a righteousness that the law requires, that he turns to the throne of grace crying for mercy. And the only reason he can cry for mercy at the throne of grace is that the Lord Jesus Christ sits there on that throne as his substitute, one who died for him. Brother, brother, listen, God can't pass over, God can't wink at, God can't forgive sins except those sins are paid for in a substitute, and that substitute is Christ, Jehovah Jesus. As far as the laws of the land is concerned, grace does not set them aside. If that individual is guilty of murder, then if he's got to suffer the death penalty, he's got to suffer the death penalty, even though God has forgiven him by grace. That man's got to die. Even though God forgives him and saves him while he's waiting the day of execution, that man has got to die to satisfy the justice of God and to satisfy the justice of the land. Christ died to satisfy the justice of God for that sinner, but that sinner's got to die to satisfy the justice of the land. You get it? As we turn to Deuteronomy 17:2-7, we find idolaters were stoned to death. Let's read it. If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in trespassing or transgressing his covenant, and have gone and served other gods and worshipped them, even the sun or the moon, or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it is told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such an abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone him with stones till he die. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. Now there you are. This is the law concerning idolatry. And yet man today in this materialistic age of rationalism thinks he's smarter than God. Thinks God is barbaric, brutal, cruel, because you find such statements concerning the law of God in His Word. Some have spoken of Him as the God of the Dark Ages, as if man is living in such an enlightened age, and if he would pass off the scene of action today, wisdom would die with him. The only thing that's wrong with man today is he's demon-possessed, living in a day of modernism when man is deified, the God of the Bible is humanized. No wonder hell will have to enlarge herself according to God's Word. No wonder we are reaping whirlwind today in society, because we have sowed the wind of yesterday. In Exodus 20:14, we find these words, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the law of God. Let's see what the penalty is. It's set forth in Leviticus 20:10, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. God is very plain and definite regarding this sin, the violation of His law. In connection with this, read Deuteronomy 22:20-25. No doubt this is one of the besetting sins of this hour. If God should execute judgment upon all who are guilty under the law of justice, how many would escape the death chamber? But there seems to be no fear of God's holy law in this matter. A good time or the friendship, get it now? Well, you just prick up your ears, hold your seat now, we're going to jump a creek. A good time or the friendship of the common man, common run of men today, means what? Drinking, smoking, and prostitution. Let me give you just a statement that will open your eyes to the average businessman today in the business world. If he's the purchasing agent of some concern to whom he would like to sell a large bill of goods, he'd say to his representative, "Sir, show Mr. Smith a good time. Make him feel at home in the city." If he's the usual sort of man, he would introduce him to his favorite drink, his choice of cigars. Then show him the city at night, which means the high-toned places where women can be had. Now, I won't tell you, friends, that's your business world today. And I know what I'm talking about. That's your club man today, regardless what name it goes under. The club man is the one who has the opportunity of using his social connection for the purpose of prostitution. The average club today is a shelter for prostitution. I say that without fear of contradiction. May I repeat a statement I've often made? Every man who goes to hell over one of two sins, covetousness or women or both. Pardon me. I wish I had time to elaborate on that. But I just gave you those two pointed statements. And I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I made those statements to a businessman the other day, and he said, "Pastor, you don't know the half." That's right. Now let's notice the law covering incest found in Leviticus 20:11. "And the man that liveth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon both of them. And if a man lie with his neighbor-in-law, a daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire." Uh-huh, there's your barbaric God, isn't it? No, so that's the God of heaven, the God of justice. It is, "They shall be burned with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you." Oh, the severity of God. Satan said in the very beginning, in the third chapter of Genesis, "Yea, hath God said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die?" And Eve said, "Yes, that's right." "Ah," he said, "thou shalt not die." And that's what Satan is saying to men today. Thou shalt not die. That God is not a God of justice. But listen, friends. The God of the Bible, the God that I know, the God that saved me, is a God of justice. And if I got justice, I'd be in hell today. But thank God I got grace. And that's the only reason I'm living out of hell, I'll never go to hell, is because of the grace of God. Oh, the severity of God and His judgments past finding out. But ever born again believer's sympathy goes with the Lord. He's on the side of the Lord God of heaven because he knows the laws of God are holy, righteous, and just altogether. I would that you knew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I would that the Holy Spirit would fall in mighty convicting power all over our nation now and bring us back to the right thinking and a right upholding of the laws of God. No wonder there is corruption everywhere. We need more men with backbone and sternness of character who will stand unflinchingly for the observance of our laws regardless of who's guilty. Praise God, we have some that's holding our country together, but they're becoming less and fewer all the time. You talk about enlightened age. We're living in the darkest hour spiritually this country's ever known. I'm raising my voice and crying out for your soul. Man, I'm pleading for you. For you. We are you. You. You are on the toboggan slide to hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, and where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth because you have no respect for the law of God. I know you're not saved by keeping the law, no sir, but it's by looking into the mirror of God's holy law and seeing what you are by nature and the judgments you under that you have made the fleet of Christ as your substitute, and you'll find that grace supplies the righteousness that the law demands. That's true. Listen here. Now let's turn to the law of God as regarding sodomy in closing. Let's look at Leviticus 18:22. You'll find these words, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Now let's turn to Leviticus 20:13 and read, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." What an eye-opener. Do you see how God looks upon sodomy, the unlawful relation of man to man? Oh, I know today psychiatrists consider that an illness or a disease. What an abomination in the sight of God. Brethren, it's a sin. God says they shall die. That's what God's Word says about it. Every man who knows anything about this city in which I live today knows it is one of the rottenest places out of hell for sodomy.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer. Folks know me by that title. We have a broadcast here called the Old Trailblazer on many, many stations. I wish you'd write and get a list of all of our broadcasts. You can hear us over the Internet, Radio Missions Radio. You can hear us on Sermon Audio. Many, many ways you can hear this broadcast here in Beijing, China, if you have a telephone and a computer. And maybe you don't know how to do that. You write us, let us know. We'll get somebody to walk you through. But this is the early broadcast here, The Law of God by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. And we've been here for a long time. Pastor Shelton started broadcasting back there in the early 1940s, on up through the 50s and 60s and the end of the 70s, when the Lord carried him, took him home. And we picked it up and bringing those broadcasts. They're just as fresh as they were the day he brought them. But we always ask you to help us with the broadcast just a little if you possibly can. We know, folks, many times are suffering. But another thing I fail to mention oftentimes, we have a prayer group here. You have someone that's suffering physically and in the hospital or wherever. Let us know. We put them on our prayer list, and we'd like to know that. And then you write us and let us know if you're hearing where you're hearing the broadcast from. We have broadcasts all over America, Northern Ireland, different places. We'd like to hear from some of you folks over there in Northern Ireland. Let us know how everything's going over there. And let us know that you're praying for us. Let us know that you're helping us with the broadcast. And tell us that you're encouraging us to go on, to keep on, keeping on. But remember, the message you heard was The Law of God. And it's number 429. And we'll send it to you free and postpaid. You pray for us. Will you do that? Say, Trailblazer, we just want to pray for you. I had a man call me early this morning from way off somewhere. He said, Trailblazer, I just want to pray for you. Just want to tell you I'm praying for you. And I told him, I said, well, you made my day. And he did. He really did. But we appreciate every one of you helping us with the broadcast. And I hope you keep praying for us. Let us know some things that's going on in your life, how the Lord's blessing you. Remember, our mailing address, Radio Missions, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.